Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Not going to waste any time today. We've got a very special show in studio today. Is Shane Strickland.
How's everything going, man?
That's right. We're also joined by Jim Perry of Defy Wrestling. We're going to go to him first, since this is a short segment, to plug tonight's show, Washington Hall in Seattle. Jim, what do we got on the docket today?
I'm still recovering from last night when Progress was in our building.
An awesome show.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. We have Defiance United tonight. We have Shane Strickland defending the Defy Championship against Brian Cage. We have Pete Dunne, WWE UK Champion, battling Brody King, which is just going to be mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing.
Kind of a weird fantasy match for sure. We have Mustache Mountain, former NXT Tag Champions, against one of, I think... Folks will see one of the fastest rising tag teams right now, the American Guns, coming right out of Tacoma. That's going to be a time for them to prove themselves for sure, and I think they're looking to do that. It's a crazy card. I can just keep saying matchups if you want me to, but Toni Storm and Nicole Matthews. Are you kidding me? That's Mae Young Classic.
Straight from
stuff.
The Mae Young Classic. That's right.
So we have Walter defending the Progress Championship. Versus Schaff, which is a phenomenon. We have a local matchup with King Cash, the Persian Prodigy, the Persian Pitbull, I think is what he's really starting to become. And he's facing Artemis Spencer. And Artemis Spencer is completely turning heads wherever he goes now.
He was so over last night.
So over, you know. And the match he had with teaming with Shane and Billy Suede versus MJF and the Guns at our last Washington Hall show, that balcony dive, like he's making a statement, and I think it's time, man. I think that it's time for these Northwest guys to really take their place in terms of the broader independent scene. And
all right, we'll talk about more after the break. Stand by, Wrestling Observer Live.
I'm Ryan Burke. I'm the head cider maker at Angry Orchard, and we're in Brittany, France. I wanted to make Angry Orchard Rosé cider out of my love for rosé wine. We came here and found these red-fleshed apples. It's a really rare fruit. The apple brings a right, refreshing, natural taste to the cider and a deep, nice pink rosé hue. Our rosé is a little bit less sweet. It's got a really nice balance for any occasion. It's a really refreshing drink.
Angry Orchard Cider Company, welcome to New York. Drink responsibly.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares. Once you've made that decision to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. We guarantee to get rid of your timeshare payments permanently. Even if you've tried another company to get rid of your expensive timeshare, call now and see if we can help you. At Resort Release, you don't pay anything until you're ready. If you're ready to learn how to permanently get rid of your costly timeshare, make this complimentary free call right now.
800-598-0539. 800-598-0539. 800-598-0539. That's 800-598-0539.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Angie's List has collected millions of verified reviews of local home service providers, and now they're free for everyone to read. Angie's List makes it easy for you to find top quality service providers in your area for any type of home project. Search for a great pro in your area or let Angie's List instantly match you to a few who can do the job. To get the most reviews from real customers, all for free, go to AngiesList.com today.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi joining us, also from WrestlingObserver.com. Shane Strickland in studio here today.
Hey, how's it going, man?
That's right. Let's start off with an awkward story for you. I was up here watching the MLW Battle Riot.
Yeah.
Yes, which you were in, Filthy Tom Lawler's in. So I'm watching this match, and my wife and baby just kind of wander in. And walks in, Shane Strickland's on TV. My wife looks at the TV and goes, "Look at the handsome man, baby." I'm like, "He's in the studio next week." Awkward as possible. Then the baby points at Filthy Tom and goes, "Daddy, daddy." So, you're part of two very awkward moments for me here. How was the Battle Riot?
That was an awesome show. That was an awesome event. Being in New York in that venue, incredible. Like, I love like venues where there's people up top looking down on you. So, like, in that building, it set the atmosphere, like, beautifully.
Now, the question I had for Tom when he was on the show, I was told the Battle Riot was a gimmick Battle Royal. Like, you could bring weapons, a weapons Battle Royal. Was that not how they build it?
I think so.
Maybe. No one brought a weapon except Kevin Sullivan.
He needed a weapon.
He did need a weapon.
He needs a weapon.
He needed more than a weapon once Tom got his hands on him. But
exactly.
Yeah, I just sort of felt like I was sold a bill of goods here. This is supposed to be a weapons battle royal. Everybody can bring a weapon, they said. And then no one showed up with one.
Yeah, tell that to a New York commission.
Yeah, that's right, the New York commission.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on working for MLW?
I loved it. I still love working with them. You know, so they were one of several promotions like Defy that put me in a place to be like seen a lot in a different light than I've ever been seen before in any promotion I've been with, you know. So getting the opportunity to like hone my craft, not only just in the ring, but also being a personality, getting in front of the camera, being able to like express who I am to the audience in a different format like that with MLW was really unique and different, and I needed that. So I learned a lot from being with MLW, and I still am learning stuff from being around like the people that I work with, like a Court Bauer, Alex Greenfield, and guys like that on a weekly basis, monthly basis, pretty much.
So if you watch WWE, like, you watch some of these backstage segments, and they're just so embarrassing. I mean this in the nicest way possible. They're very scripted. Court worked for WWE. Alex Greenfield worked for WWE. I mean, it doesn't seem like you're given the same sort of scripts that the guys in WWE are given. What does Court do as far as, like, if he says you're going to be in a backstage segment? I mean, does he hand you a script and go like, "You got to memorize this whole thing front to back," or is it just talking points?
No, it's just talking points, bullet points. The thing is, Court trusts his talent. He trusts the guys in those positions that he put him in. You know, he knows their abilities. He doesn't give them too much. He doesn't give them too little. He knows like these guys can perform well, so he doesn't overbear them with those kind of like scripts and those guidelines and stuff. He's like, "Get to this point in this timely manner. This is the kind of anger and aggression. You're at a 5, bring it up to an 8. You know, you're at a 10, bring it down to like a 4.
Yeah.
And then you just go with it, you know?
Does he have you do a lot of, like, retapes? I mean, how many times do you have to film a certain segment? Like, is it usually once or twice you're good? Or is he one of those guys where, "I got to do this 15 times before I get the one I want"?
So I'll do, like, sometimes, like the pulling up in a Corvette segment.
Yeah.
That took, like, 5-6 takes.
Really?
But you just wanted like this camera angle.
You a bad driver?
Almost hit a person. Maybe. You know, no. This is like he wanted one for The episode, and he also wanted one for the live audience.
I see. So just like, different takes.
Yeah, and it wasn't nothing like, oh, this didn't look good. This didn't sound good. It was just he wanted something for this scenario, and one for this scenario.
Now, how does the production of MLW compare to Lucha Underground?
Two very different. Like, now Lucha Underground is a very scripted. That's a literally like filming a movie.
Yeah,
you know. So we have scripts we got to memorize. We have like a in the script would be like, oh, a noise, bang, in the background, react to that. Like, we have that kind of stuff, so we have to literally go on the guideline of, like, the writer and the director and the producers of it, you know, so that, and MLW is, like, more freelance, you know, you get to, like, express yourself a little bit more. There's not literally a script. They'll give you ideas. You can bounce ideas back and forth. You can do that in Lucha as well, but there's already a plot in place. There's already, like, a scene in this can sitting on this desk is there for a reason, so you have to be positioned exactly in that way, you know, so it's very specific with Lucha rather than MLW.
Is there a way that you prefer, like, do you prefer the way that Lucha Underground does it, or do you prefer the way that MLW does it?
I prefer MLW's method of it because I get to express who I am a lot more. I get to be more genuine and more organic with the situation, with my character, with bouncing emotion off of the other person that I'm in the situation with.
You're not a prisoner of war in MLW?
No. I'm completely opposite, which is why I'm glad I did the Lucha Underground way because I never done it before.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to have like some type of experience with that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's cool to just go the completely opposite way with the character as well. Like, I'm more like optimistic, outgoing, and as a Swerve character, but as Killshot, I'm more to myself. PTSD, cameras, people, they bother me, and I want to be away, and I'm quiet and introvert.
Yeah.
So this is two different realms, but I like being able to like jump back and forth between both.
So when they gave you that Killshot character, I mean, what do they? I mean, if you look at like if you were an actor in a film, like they give you a role and you kind of want to study it, like maybe read some biography of a prisoner of war, or someone with PTSD or something like that. I mean, did you do any of the sort of stuff like that, or is it sort of just like this is your character? We're going to tell you what to do, and that's it.
Oh no, I wrote the character for Killshot.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They knew they wanted to put me into a mass character.
Yeah.
And they gave me the option to like come up with a name for it. So I came up with the name Killshot. I wrote like six names down, me and a buddy of mine, Latin Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
We were like throwing names back and forth, and we came down to Killshot. We sent it to Krista Joseph, and he was like, oh, I like Killshot, we're going with Killshot. Pretty much designed the mask around the name, so they were like, oh, okay, cool. And then first season happened, and I was like, I didn't get a background really. During that break between season one and two, I wrote like three synopses for my character.
Yeah.
And they kind of took all three of them and combined them and made the vignette that they introduced in season two with me shooting people and doing all that. I actually was in the military for like 8 years. So like straight out of high school, I was signal support communications, which is radioing. I pretty much took like little stories that my drill sergeants and like rangers that I've met in the military over the course of the 8 years, and I'm also a big fan of Metal Gear Solid. So I took like little fantasy and real life and put them together, molded them, and made Killshot and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've heard that like some actors, when they're given a character, like even if it's not like a starring role, they'll actually sit down and they'll write an entire biography. Like they'll make up their own biography of this character. So at least like they have something they feel they understand. So no matter what they're told to do, they kind of can be this character that they've created in their own mind.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what we try to do in wrestling, you know, with our characters. Like, there's certain things you know Undertaker won't do, you know?
Yes.
There's certain things you know that Undertaker will do.
Yes.
You know, and being able to just, like, go with that emotion and that motive of a character, it brings your matches full circle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I love that the Killshot character didn't high five fans. He didn't like.
Yes.
He didn't like flex or in the middle of the ring, because that's not what that character would do.
Yeah.
That's something that Johnny Mundo would do.
Yeah.
That's what tears us two apart. That's the complete opposite, and that's what brought a little bit more life and understanding to the Killshot character, rather than, because everybody knows who Johnny Mundo is. They've known him for 10 years.
Yeah.
Who's Killshot season two of like one a new brand new show that's still getting new audiences.
Yeah.
So I had to find those little niches in the character to bring life to it and to bring attention to it.
Yeah. I've only watched like the first three episodes of season four, maybe only two. Are you done with Lucha Underground, or are you going to show up in this season?
Oh, I'm in the season.
Okay.
I was like in episode one. And then, yeah, I was in episode
Leave
one.
To me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Watch the product, man.
They blend together after a while.
It does. Like, yeah. But
I watch every episode of one, two, and three.
Yeah.
And then I watch like the first couple of episodes of four, and I just, it's been harder this season.
This season,
hey, Shane.
Yeah.
Shane, he's trying to act like that because obviously his wife may be a little bit smitten with you. So
oh, get out of here,
like
Mike.
He doesn't even know you.
All right, hold on, everybody. We'll be back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Good segue.
See, yes, I want to put the...
To the people who thought I was gonna flop, y'all are part of the reason I ain't gonna stop. Against the odds, I went hard until I popped. Came from the bottom and now I'm standing on top. I had dreams and now they all coming true.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government, and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517.
Results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. One call to Wall & Associates and your tax problems are solved. Wall has saved clients over $150 million in the last 5 years. Our average client settles for about 10% of what is owed. With one call to Wall, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again. We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Remember, Wall has a proven track record with a total client savings over $150 million. Call now for your free face-to-face consultation. 800-813-9940. 800-813-9940. 800-813-9940.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Brian Alvarez, Mike Sempervivi, Shane Strickland joining us here today on the show. Got a lot to talk about here. If you want to text a question, 425-780-7566. Shane Strickland working tonight. The Defy Show in Seattle, Washington Hall. Brian Cage for the Defy title. You
yes,
ready
sir.
For this match?
Yeah. I need to get some redemption from losing my Wrestle Circus match to Brian Cage, actually. So we are overdue for a rematch.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Wrestle Circus, or really any promotion. We have guests on the show all the time. and we're plugging their upcoming shows, and I go over the lineups, and like every promotion in North America, Shane Strickland, Shane Strickland, Shane Strickland. It's like you're on every independent, like everyone. It's crazy. Is there a promotion you don't work for that you'd like to? Like,
I've never done
national...
Ring of Honor. I always wanted to do a Ring of Honor. You know?
Have you not worked Ring of Honor yet?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Just timing. I always based my career on timing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life in my career has been just timing.
So let's go back a little bit. How long have you been wrestling? What got you into the business?
My first match was in 2009. I started training in 2008, August of 2008, and the first match was March of 2009. So this coming March will be 10 years I've been wrestling. I started watching wrestling when I was like 11, 12 years old. And my older sister had a best friend and she had a younger brother. We moved into their area at the time and so we were like, oh, we're going to go over to my friend's house. I have a friend over here. So I went over and I met the younger brother. He had like all the figures. He had like taped the pay-per-view the night before we watched that. And then he just got me into wrestling, you know? And then like we moved away. We moved around a lot when I was younger.
So what were you watching when you were younger? I mean, are we talking like Attitude Era? Are we talking earlier Attitude Era?
Yeah, like Attitude Era stuff. And then like I got away from it a little bit. Then I got back into watching like the Ruthless Aggression Era, the 2002. Yeah, yeah. And my first like SmackDown I remember vividly was July of 2002 when Rey Mysterio debuted against Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I fell in love with it. And Rey Mysterio was like the guy for me. He was the icon of professional wrestling and the epitome of what I wanted to be.
Yeah.
So like he's been my idol since day one. And so that got me into watching wrestling and then backyard wrestling with friends after high school and stuff. And like, so I was tearing my body up at like 13, 14 years old.
Yeah.
In the backyard. I was taking light tubes then. So
Where's your family at? What's going on here?
Oh, they knew. My mom knew. I was like, my dad was like off doing other stuff. So he wasn't really around as much. But I was with my mom all the time. I was pretty much raised by women. I was two sisters, my mom, cousins.
Yeah.
Then I have two daughters. So I'm always around just women.
Yeah.
So
what a life.
I know, right? It actually groomed me for fatherhood for two girls. So that actually came full circle. But yeah, I was in the backyard with friends, just like my mom was always cool with it because she knew where I was. Like if your parents always know where you are on a daily basis, they're never gonna have a problem with you doing what you do.
Yeah.
So like I was in the backyard, or I was at my friend Eric's house, or my friend Zach's house around the corner. That was the three places I was gonna be, or school.
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, do what you want as long as you're home.
Just don't die and get home on time.
Yeah. So
that
like
sounds familiar.
I wasn't a troubled youth.
Yeah.
So I was just backyard wrestling, playing video games, and watching freaking Digimon every Saturday morning. So that was me. So like I was just like, we're doing that. I end up graduating high school. 2 weeks after I graduated high school, I end up going to the military, right to basic training in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Did 8 weeks there, then went from there to Fort Gordon, Georgia. Did 22 weeks of training for my military job, which was radioing. And so I left from like the summer. I didn't go home till like February. So I did all that, came home, went back to my buddy Eric's house, lived there for a little bit, had a job working UPS. That was awful. I hated it. And then ended up buying my first car, which crapped out maybe a couple months later.
Yeah.
So I had like no reason to stay in Pennsylvania. This is York, Pennsylvania, by the way. And so like my mom had moved to Richmond, Virginia at the time. And I was like, man, I want to become a wrestler. I was just looking up websites and wrestling schools. I was like, hey, I want to become a pro wrestler. And so mom was like, all right, cool. You can move down here. Like I was, like my mom said, like as long as she knows where I am, she's happy me doing anything. So I moved down to Richmond, stayed with her for a little bit. She paid my first month's tuition at Ground Zero Wrestling in Richmond, Virginia. And I got a job working in a cemetery. And so I was managing working at a cemetery.
Is this your love of The Undertaker that...
Oh, yeah, right? Funny thing, my backyard wrestling name was Corpse.
So look at that.
Full circle.
That's right.
You're going to hear that a lot about my story, my origin coming up. Like, oh, full circle. Like, military comes full circle.
That's right, yeah.
Underground. So there's a lot of that going on. And also, Rey Mysterio being my favorite wrestler came full circle.
Yep.
So end up managing to... I started going to ITT Tech for drafting and design. So I started going to school... Started wrestling training, had a job, military, and then my first daughter was born later on that year. So that was all at 19 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I couldn't manage all of it, so I ended up just leaving school after a year. Had odd jobs here and out, and then like just survived off of like little odd jobs in my military because I wasn't getting paid for wrestling until like 3 years later.
Yeah. Now when you, I'm not going to say it's easy, okay, but if you would have been born a little earlier, you can't just go on the internet and find a wrestling school.
Right.
Like, is there a local place here? Like, can I help put the ring together? Can I find somebody that's going
to
help me?
That would have been what I had to do.
Yeah.
I would have done it, too.
Yeah, but I mean, like, nowadays, you can go on the internet and, like, look for wrestling schools, and they're everywhere now.
Yeah.
So when you went on the internet and were looking around, like, how did you choose the school that you chose? Were there other options you were thinking about? I mean, was it just being local, or how did you make that decision?
I literally picked the closest one in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
And Ground Zero was literally right in the city.
Yeah.
There was another one called Kaida Pro, which was like 90 miles maybe outside of Richmond, Virginia. And then there was a Richmond Lucha, which was like, I don't think they were trained. They were just running shows. So
yeah.
I literally just like, oh, Ground Zero Wrestling, it's 4 miles from my mom's house. So that's what it literally came down to, just that.
Now, keeping it moving the way that you have, it seems like you've been moving your entire life, you know, from thing to thing. When it comes to bookings, you know, we talked about how many dates you work, and Brian and I've kind of, you know, poked at, you know, fun at the fact that, man, you are everywhere and you're going to be the champion of all these promotions by the time you're done with everything. But what's it like now with being in demand and having your name out there so much and having so many high profile things happen? How do you try to balance your weekends now? Because MLW seems to be pretty easy. It seems to be the wrestler's friend. You can work on a Thursday and then still go out and do your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, where it kind of gets kind of dicey now. I mean, if AAW calls, if XWA calls, I mean, how do you try to determine what you're going to do, and how are these promoters kind of working with each other to try to help you out?
Right now, like, most of the promoters know each other, so it's not as hectic to get in touch with one promotion to another. You know, like, Matt Farmer knows Danny at AEW, so, like, and he knows Joe at PCW Ultra, and they know Court Bauer. Everybody knows each other, so it's, like, not that hard to manage a schedule anymore. When there's, like, an open date, like, the day before or the day afterwards, and there's like a local show, and then I'll do that, and like I'll get a ride arranged and do that, and then just get a ride back or fly out of that town or whatever. But like it's a lot more easier nowadays because everybody's working together. You know, these promotions work together, the talent works together. It's kind of like how the UK is. UK, a lot of guys don't have cars. They just take the train everywhere and they just share like trans money.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not flying all over the place like that. So they kind of got their system up there. Like we have our system in the States, like everybody works together, everybody shares flight costs. And, I finally got to the point in my career where my work is worth a flight cost now. And now it's that much easier when two promoters can just share the flights as well. And like now, like I kind of narrowed down my promotions that I work for in the bookings to like my top fives, which is the AWs, the Defies, the PCW Ultras, the MLWs, you know. So I narrowed it down to like, okay, my month is, these are my guarantees that I'm, no matter what, I'm working with these guys because they've like groomed me and they're like, they're guaranteed and like, they built me up to where I am now. And then everything else after that, like international stuff, Mexico or like a local town here, everything else is just filler. Or like I'll come in, if I'll go there and I'm like, oh, I like this place, I'll come back, and then I'll come back. But I pretty much narrowed down to like these key five promotions, and then I go from there.
You know, it's funny. We had Sami Callihan on the show yesterday, and we basically talked about this same thing. Like, decade, 2 decades, the territory era, like, it's a cutthroat business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You work for your promotion, the promoters trying to screw each other. I mean, Farmer here could just say, oh, this guy's a champion of whatever. I'm going to beat him tonight.
Right.
It doesn't happen. And I asked Sammy the same thing. Like, does anyone ever ask you to do something that you feel is stupid? And he just goes, no, nobody ever asks. Like, everyone's working together now. It's a totally different business.
Yeah.
Have you ever been approached by a promoter that's like, I want you to do this, and you just feel that because of something you're doing with somebody else, this would be like a bad idea? And
yeah.
Have you ever had that happen? Do you just have to, or does it not happen anymore?
It's very few, far in between. Like, I'm pretty sure back in the day, like, with you guys, it was like, a whole, like, you were getting this every other day or every other weekend, you know. But nowadays, it's like, once again, those oddball promotions that you're not working for, it's like you're a one-off match or show.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
You're never going to see this guy again or whatever. Probably it's more often those type of shows that you're doing that with. Like, but with like an AEW, the Devise, the MLWs, they see us every month, every other week or whatever. So we're not getting that kind of stuff anymore. We don't like they. We respect each other. And we're in like a like, hey man, how do you feel about this? Oh, I don't know, man. Like, maybe if we can do it this way.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because we work together, you know?
Yeah.
We're not just, like, a promoter and wrestler. We're kind of, like, more of, like, a we're bonded, like, not I wouldn't say friends, but you could go in that realm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
All right, we're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Come, my lady. Come, my lady. You're my butterfly. Sugar, baby. Come, my lady, come, my lady. You're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Such a sexy, pretty little thing. This paper pitch, you got me sprung with your tongue ring. And I ain't gonna lie, cause your loving gets me high. So to keep you by my side, there's nothing that I won't try. Butterflies in the eyes and the looks to kill. Time is...
Your car's engine deals with pressures that can cause intense friction that can
waste up to 10% of engine performance.
Power up with Castrol EDGE with fluid titanium technology. It's 3 times stronger than leading oils against viscosity breakdown. Buy 5 quarts of Castrol EDGE and a Purolator Boss filter for $32.99 at Advance or participating CarQuest auto parts stores. 3 times stronger based on Kurt Orban test. 5W30 Visgrade.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. Call now. That's 800-508-5774.
I noticed my neighbor put a broken World's Best Dad mug in the recycling bin by his curb. So I did what anyone would do. Fixed it with some JB Weld Clear Weld Epoxy, then returned the next morning to stand in his yard and drink coffee. He and his family stared out the window at me with confusion, and underneath that, fear. And underneath that, I want to say jealous anger. But underneath that, there was also appreciation for a lesson well learned. Don't toss it. JB Weld it.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Shane Strickland joining us in studio here today. I promise everybody we talk about A.R. Fox before the last break, and we didn't. So, Mike, I'm going to let you ask your question, the follow-up from the last segment. Then we're going to talk about this match.
I was just curious because of, you know, the place that you are in time and space right now in your career. Looking back, What's the worst advice you got? And what's some of the dumbest stuff that you heard kind of coming up? Because everybody's got stories of some, you know, bad advice and trying to be steered this way or that way. Obviously, a little bit of a different era that you're coming up in, but I'm sure there was still some people that thought they maybe had the best for you and maybe they were being as honest as they could be about it. Just in hindsight, you look back and you go, oh, man, that was pretty bad.
Being told to stay in one place and that, like, all this attention will come to you. But it doesn't work like that in any entertainment industry. You always have
Nothing
to go.
It does.
Yeah, you always have to go out there and get it, and you got to make your name by getting yourself in front of those eyes and getting them to hear and see what you do, what you're good at. You know.
You think that was like a promoter that wanted you like exclusively, so they're telling you this advice to not go anywhere else?
Yeah, yeah. It basically. Was like it was honestly, it was like my first trainers in back in Virginia.
Yeah,
you know, like they kept their guys secluded, so. When it came to like for them to grow and they couldn't grow anymore.
Yeah,
they were stuck in that way. And then like when it came time for them to finally go outside of Virginia, go to these other promotions, they didn't shine. They just kind of like fell. They folded under pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
They couldn't perform well because all they knew was this.
So this AR Fox match with Killshot, Lucha Underground, this match was completely insane.
Yes.
Like, it was like, it had to be the craziest match that ever aired on national television. Like, I was trying to think of a crazier match. Like, you could probably watch a CZW show, or I'm sure there's stuff in Japan that's crazier. But, like, on national television, I don't think, and I talked about this on the show, and nobody came up with one that was crazier. Like, some people threw out a couple of matches here and there, but they were, like, not nationally televised. I guess, tell us about this match. I mean, what were you thinking going in? Did they cut stuff out of it that was even crazier? What memories do you have?
They cut like a little like knife sequence we had with a screwdriver, but it didn't really go anywhere. But it didn't get violent. It didn't get more bloody than what actually happened. They pretty much left the half an hour match there.
Yeah.
So you saw everything.
Yeah.
When me and Fox, we have that mentality coming from CZW. Matter of fact, that entire season of season three of Lucha Underground, the three main CZW guys are me, Sammy Callahan, and AR Fox.
Yes.
I feel like we were the MVPs that entire season because everything we touched was like money.
Yeah.
Everything was like we killed everything. Every time we got camera time, we killed it that entire season. So I believe it's that CZW mentality we have that we just have to kill everything we do. Especially for me, I'm pretty much like I always believed since I started wrestling that I was always looked over. I was always like, kind of like, oh, he's good, but he's not that guy. Or he's like, he's cool, but like, yeah, he's not going to be this. He can't do this. He can't outperform this. And I always wanted to prove people wrong. Fox has that same mentality. So does Sammy. So we always like compete with one another in a very friendly, like it's a good competition. And that's what happens when you have good competition. You bring out the best in each other, and that's what me and Fox were. It was literally, if you looked at it in a comic book sense, it was Wolverine versus Sabretooth. He's the bigger, stronger, faster brother of the two. How do I take them down? It took something that violent. It took something that great of like it had to go to that level to take him down. So it didn't hurt Fox any to lose.
Yeah,
it didn't hurt me to like get beat up by him throughout most of the match. It made us both look great. And that's what I try to do in all my matches. Like, literally paint the picture of having a war. Like, after a match, you should look around the arena and be like, what just happened here?
Yes.
And that's what we did there. You know, like, there was a mix of a lot of things. It's not just hardcore. There was athleticism. There was lucha. There was storytelling. There was, like, strikes back and forth. There was just a lot of elements to the match that wasn't just, like, Crash TV. You know, and I wanted to make sure we didn't get just deliver just Crash TV, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because, like, when I watch hardcore matches, I mean, sometimes I'll watch a hardcore match and it's like, this is just garbage. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Just like they're hitting each other with stuff and it sucks. But then there's, like, I'm not really a big fan of it, but, like, when I see a great hardcore match, it's like, that was a great match. Like, a good example, like I said, Callahan was on the show yesterday. I don't know if you saw Slammiversary.
I did.
Three hardcore matches on the show. Him and Pentagon are going on the third hardcore match on the show. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's no way. Like, not that they can't follow those two matches, but like the crowd. The crowd's seen two hardcore matches. How are they going to stay up for this match? These two guys had such an awesome match. They tore the house down. And, you know, you mentioned him as far as, like, one of the three guys from CZW. What is it? Like, can you explain in your mind the psychology of, like, a good hardcore match? It's more than just hitting people, obviously. There's a story to the match and a structure where you can use a bunch of weapons, and it's not just garbage.
Right. Well, Sami Callihan is one of my main mentors. I've always, like, keyed it to, like, five people. It was Rich Swann, Ricochet, Adam Cole, AR Fox, and Sami Callihan. Those are the five that groomed me and made me who I am today. Sami always has, there's always has to be a strategy in the match. Like, the fans have to literally see the strategy of what the one opponent is trying to do to the other opponent, you know? And once they grasp, like, oh, he can't do this because he won't let him do this, or he's trying to get this, but he can't, he's not allowing it, or he's blocking him from this, or he has this story with this person which won't let him do this in the match. So once you put that strategy element into the match, or, like, you can either even go the emotional route, like, oh, they broke up as a tag team, which is what you get with Gargano and Ciampa's. So those don't feel like hardcore matches. They just feel like
they're grudge matches.
Yeah,
they're
just feel like episodic movies that you're watching, theatrical, you know? It's pretty much, we go in the realm of theatrical wrestling.
Yeah.
That's where it becomes something more than just hardcore. You're kind of, like, ignoring the fact that they're using weapons. You're seeing the story. You're seeing one opponent's grudge against the other opponent, whether it be babyface heel, heel versus heel, baby, it doesn't matter. You're seeing, like, literally when you're watching an MMA fight, one person's strength versus the other person's weakness.
Yes.
One person's better at clinching, the other person's better at ground, so he's going to try to take the ground game, which is why the audience gets so compelled, because, oh, we know their strengths, we know their weaknesses. It's the same thing that me and Fox try to do. Me and Marty the Moth, he's bigger than me. I'm smaller. He doesn't feel pain. I keep getting back up from pain. You know, it's when is this going to, like, come to a conclusion where it's just these two are just going to snap? Are they both going to go down? Is one going to overtake the other? Is his strengths going to outweigh his weaknesses? Is it going to be the other way around? You add strategy and you add motive to the opponents and you put it into the match. That's where the story comes. So it doesn't feel like we're just hitting each other over the head with weapons. It's not, it doesn't become that just moronic anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where, like, we got to take it to the next level as far as, like, storytelling. Like, the type of talent that we have in pro wrestling right now is, I feel like, is the smartest, the fastest growing as far as age-wise. Everybody's getting good at, like, 22 and 21, world-renowned performers at, like, 23 years old.
Yeah.
You know, it's mind-blowing, and we don't stop and appreciate that anymore, you know? We're getting a lot of African-American top talents. We're getting a lot of women, like, main eventing shows. Like, the type of talent that we have right now in professional wrestling in 2018 is very mind-blowing, and we need to appreciate it while we have it.
Do you remember...
I just wanted to jump in there because I did want to ask you about this. Being a black man and seeing Keith Lee, Leo Rush, I mean, all of these names that are renowned, yours in there. I mean, a bunch of people, seeing how Ember Moon has come up, Kira Hogan, lots of people. You know, it's still a business that, you know, we've seen it with WWE, with Hulk Hogan. You know, the change is slow in this business, as it is, frankly, everywhere. But how do you feel right now about the place of the African American in wrestling and gaining more power and gaining more, you know, attention? Just, it seems like we are finally making some progress here, and people are starting to wake up to the fact that, like, you know, there's a lot of voices here, and there's been a fan base that has been loyal for a long time that has frankly been kind of been put to the side and been taken for granted. And it's not just African Americans, it's Latin Americans and Mexican fans and people coming from other places. How do you feel right now about the progress of African Americans in wrestling, and how much further do you think we have to go?
I think we're almost there. The fact that we have the variety of African American wrestlers out there is the beauty of it. You have the big man, which is Keith Lee, who's athletic as well. You have the strong style Japanese style wrestler, which is ACH, which is phenomenal. All these guys can, like, Leo Rush, like, you got myself, you know, you got, like, all of us can be top guys anywhere. Cedric Alexander, Jay Lethal's out there, you know, like, I don't want to, like, and then you got the upcoming talent coming up with, like, the Darius Lockharts and of the world, who's, like, from North Carolina, who's going to be a big name coming up in the next couple years, you know. There's variety,
and there you're getting a different type of African American performer out there. Leo Rush did the dark, the dark grueling gimmick in CZW when he was world champion. So you're seeing like a dark side African American character who's undersized, but at the world championship, there's so many different elements to that that we don't even think about. We're just watching and we're just enjoying. That's the thing. When we stop like trying to tear down and like break apart the person, the performer, the gimmick, the athlete, whatever we're watching, when we stop trying to break them down, because we don't do that with like certain guys like the Adam Coles, we don't break down like these top tier guys like the Seth Rollins, we don't break these guys down. We watch them and enjoy them because they entertain us. When we stop breaking down the elements of what makes a great performer and just watch them perform and appreciate their performances, we're not seeing color anymore. We're not like, you're not seeing color when I go out there. You're not seeing that I'm, a lot of people, it's hindsight. They're like, oh yeah, we have a black champion.
Yeah.
Like people like, it's a second thought. We had a black PWG champion. It's second thought now. We're not thinking that. It's not like,
yeah, like the '90s. Yeah. It was like, oh, let's make a big deal about the first black champion. Yeah. And nowadays, it's nothing. Nobody even thinks about it.
It's not a thing. Like, when you see these reports that go out on social media, they're like, oh, new PWG world champion crowned in Keith Lee. It wasn't, oh, new African-American PWG world champion crowned.
Yeah.
Like, oh, new Defy world champion crowned. Oh, not new African-American Defy world champion crowned. We're taking those labels. Once again, we're breaking those things down. We're stripping them away, and we're just seeing wrestlers.
This person here wants to know, what is your personal favorite match? And my follow-up would be, you mentioned you and Callahan, and I'm sure many others. Who do you gel the best with? Like, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter the promotion. If you guys are in the ring together, you can't have a bad match.
Oh, me and Sammy Callahan, for sure.
Callahan,
Fox. Once again, we're groomed together, so we pretty much know each other's body movements. Like, I've been knowing how they moved in the ring since I started studying them in 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
So before I even got in the ring with them, I knew them. So that was like a strange connection we've always had. Me and Matt Riddle, we gel incredibly well together for two guys that like literally are complete opposite sides of the spectrum as far as performers. We gel incredibly well in the ring together. Man, Leo Rush.
See, the names you guys, all y'all are a little crazy, the ones you just mentioned there.
Yeah. Me and Leo, we've always gelled very well together. Our match in Defy is like still talked about 2 years later now, or a year later. And me and Cedric Alexander used to vibe. We only had two matches together on the Independence, but we gelled very well. Like, yeah, I could go on and on, but man, those are my top guys.
All right, stand by. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live.
Travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you.
And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Call the CPAP hotline now. 800-430-4234. 800-430-4234. That's 800-430-4234. Copays and deductibles apply. Supplies are replaced in accordance with Medicare guidelines.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies? But you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back here with the final segment of the show. I just want to thank Shane Strickland for doing the show here today. Excellent job. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
I want to give you a chance to plug your podcast and your Twitter, social media, and then we've got one more person to speak here.
You can follow me on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Strickland Shane. I repeat, at Strickland Shane. I got my podcast with my co-host, Montezy Moore. You can follow him at Montezy Moore. This podcast, Swerve City Pod, on Twitter. On Instagram, Swerve City Podcast Official. We have the website, Fan Off Media. You can listen to our show. It's all available on SoundCloud. It's available on iTunes. And it is available on Google Play, and we have a YouTube channel, so check us out, Swerve City Podcast. We're doing big things.
That's right. You can follow the link on my Twitter as well, at Brian Alvarez. And Matt Farmer's here today, still alive 20 years after I killed him.
Brian.
That's right. Oh, now he's on. All right.
Good to see you, Brian. Tonight we've got Defy United at Washington Hall in Seattle, Washington. We've got, as the main event, Pete Dunne versus Brody King. We also have a co-main event tonight. Defy champion Shane Strickland, the man you just listened to, he's going to be defending his Defy championship against the machine Brian Cage. Also, Mustache Mountain is going to be facing local team the American Guns, who are making a lot of waves in the wrestling world right now. Also, fresh off of the Mae Young Classics, we got Tony Storm facing Nicole Matthews. We've got Progress World Champion Walter going against one of the craziest young pieces of talent coming out today. His name is Schaff. We also have Jimmy Havoc versus maybe one of the most popular wrestlers in the Pacific Northwest, the weirdo hero, Ravenous Randy Myers. All tonight, Washington Hall in Seattle.
That's right. Tonight, Defy Washington Hall in Seattle. I'll be there. Vinny's going to be there. Craig's going to be there. It's going to be a good time. So stop by and say hi. And we're out of time. I want to thank Shane Strickland, Matt, Jim, everybody at Defy. We'll be back again next time. Thanks, Mike, as always, everybody in the studio. Talk to you next time. Wrestling Observer Live.